You are listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 happy hump day. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, and Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. We have a lot to talk about throughout the show. Of course, Astros happening right now, college football happening this weekend. But ladies and gentlemen, the NFL returns tomorrow. The regular season kicks off the Buffalo Bills-Rams primetime. We're excited for that, and we're excited to see what the Texans can do this year as they rebuild and host Indianapolis on Sunday. Let's talk about some awards, guys. This is something in the betting world and just in the NFL commentary world in general that gets predicted before each year. Odds for things from who wins the Super Bowl, who'll be the best running back, NFL MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, etc. Let's start with MVP. Let's give our MVP predictions. Paul, what say you?
Okay, so I thought about this for a while, and I've been going back and forth between two guys in the AFC North, and one of them was Lamar Jackson, because I think that the Ravens are due for a bounce back this year. But the more I think about it as we get closer and closer to the regular season, I think part of this is the contrarian in me, but also the person that's like, why is everyone so on this one team when they are not on the team that had a quarterback who got sacked, what, 11 times in a playoff game that they still won, that did something about their offensive line this offseason, who has, I think, a damn good core of weapons around this quarterback. I'm talking about Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Burrow's got Joe Mixon behind him as a running back. I think Mixon's one of the more underrated running backs in the league. In Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, he has a fantastic 1-2 combination at wide receiver. I feel like the Bengals are going to be very good in an AFC North that, yeah, has Baltimore back healthier this year, but also it has a worse Pittsburgh and a, I would say, helpless Cleveland without Deshaun Watson for the first 11 games of the year. So I'm going with Joe Burrow.
All right, so here's, I'm going to stick with what I said a couple months ago. And this pains me because now everybody's on the train. I'm going with Josh Allen. I do think it is the year for the Buffalo Bills to make it to the Super Bowl. If they make it to the Super Bowl, and especially if they win, I think it's no doubt that it's Josh Allen. The league loves him. His teammates love him. I think he's one of the more interesting guys. I'm going to go with Josh Allen. Here's why I am a little hesitant. Because now everybody is picking them to win the Super Bowl. They're becoming so obvious, and they're such a target on their back. Sometimes that does not work to teams' advantage. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can be like the Chiefs, where you kind of use it as fuel, etc. Or you can be like, maybe the Bills are going to be where it actually impacts you in a negative way. So I'm going with Josh Allen, but I say it with hesitation.
The games that they lost this past season to, in particular, Jacksonville.
And Indianapolis.
Where they lost 9-6. The Indy one, Indy was really hot at the time. That Jacksonville game where you're scoring 6 points against a wretched Jacksonville team, that's one of those games where you're like, whoa, what's going on? And if Josh Allen has one of those games or has the kind of slump that Patrick Mahomes had last year in the midst of what is, by all other quarterbacks, a very successful year, he will definitely, I think, have a little bit more heat coming his way than before. Because there's no fatigue factor with him yet. Where other quarterbacks, like Mahomes, I think there's a little Mahomes fatigue now after a couple of seasons.
But you saw how they struggled once everybody had their number. Mm-hmm. They had a slump last year.
They did. It was a long
713-780-3776. We're going to get to defensive player in a year in a minute. We start with MVP, and we want you guys' opinion on both. Sean, who's your MVP pick?
Well, Paul took mine. I was going to say Joe Burrow. I thought it was a safe one. Looking, you know, little not picking the favorites, looking to the second level. But yeah. Same reason as Paul, where this offense is going to put up crazy numbers. Everyone already likes Joe Burrow. He has the kind of crowd on his side in that way, the narrative on his side. And they made that crazy run last year. If they come out hot again and are like the one or two seed in a tough AFC North, like I think he's going to get the trophy. But since Paul took mine, and I just want to have someone different, and I want to get back at Paul, I'm going to pick Russell Westbrook. Russell Wilson.
Oh,
Russell Westbrook would be huge, though, if he was playing football.
Almost as
yeah.
No, that's disgusting. I thought you were going to go with Justin Herbert.
Yeah. I didn't want to go that chalk and like, yeah, of course you're going to pick Justin Herbert. But yes, also him.
So you actually think that Russell Wilson, are you doing this in it,
no,
just to be trite?
I'm just doing it out of spite.
Okay.
So, just
not trite.
Spite.
Spite?
Trite?
Yes. In trite means cliche. Spite means to, okay. You're right. It's
going to toss a commercial Sprite. Break every Hello. Time you bring up Sprite. Russell Wilson's stats this season.
Love Sprite.
I think he's going to get his first what? MVP what? Vote ever. Now that he's left Seattle.
Couldn't hear you. Couldn't hear you. Something's wrong with your mic.
I will not be silent.
What?
I will not be silent. Yeah.
Didn't hear you.
Okay,
Aaron Rodgers and I
okay,
are being silent.
Yeah. We're on the same page. All right. Defensive player of the year. I'll go first. I'm going with Nick Bosa.
Oh.
I think the 49ers have a chance to have an interesting year. And we know that, you know, good defense can obviously be helped by good offense, etc. I think if Jimmy G especially is under center, they look like the 49ers that they used to look like. I think Nick Bosa has a chance to stand out again.
Okay. If San Francisco is hanging around, yeah, he's the linchpin of that defense. I'm going with a guy who's local, and I get it. He plays for that team. I'm supposed to call them something that would get me canceled in 2022. But Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys, not cowgirls, they're cowboys. Micah Parsons is a monster. You can play him, I think, at any position on defense. I would be curious to see how he would do at defensive back. You've seen him as a pass rusher. You've seen him as a guy covering people downfield. You've seen him as just your traditional middle linebacker. He can be used in so many different ways. In year two in the league, how is he not going to be better than he was last season where he was an absolute phenom? So you also could go with Aaron Donald, who's won a lot of these of late. But I'm going with Micah Parsons. I think Parsons is going to have an awesome season for Dallas like he did last year.
Yeah, it's tough going with Aaron Donald and, you know, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, because you're like, well, they win it every year.
They're the obvious picks.
Yeah, and a lot of times the MVP goes out to a little bit of like the breakout of an elite quarterback or of the elite defensive end, defensive player. So with that being said, I'm going, you pick Nick Bosa. I'm going Joey Bosa.
Ooh.
How about that? The Chargers, they're going to be winning a lot of games. Other teams are going to be passing a lot. They also have Khalil Mack on the other side.
Great point.
So less double teams. And basically the thing with Joey Bosa is if he stays healthy, you can just ride him in for double-digit sacks. And so he just needs one of those, you know, career years here and just a little bit better than what he's given me and also stay healthy. And I think it'll be easier given the surrounding talent around him.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa? So Joey Bosa is 27 years old, 6'5", 276 pounds.
Mm.
Nick Bosa is 24 years old, 6'4", so there's an inch that he's giving up, and his weight is 267. So an inch and 10 pounds. Who wins between
Whichever
Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa?
Whichever one is feeling more crazy at the time.
Oh.
Give me Bosa.
yeah, is that's that, a good pick.
Give Bosa?
Give me Bosa.
Wow.
Give me Bofa. Give me Joey Bosa.
Joey, you're going to take the big brother. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to pick
that's
the big brother. As a big brother, I'm going to pick the big brother.
I'm going to go with my defensive player of the year pick, Nick.
I feel like that's what both of us did. We can't say...
We literally... We can't, actually, you know what, Sean? I'm going to fight you.
I think the guy I picked to win defensive player of the year will lose to his little brother in a fight. So,
yeah.
But with that being said, still a great defensive
player.
Well,
older doesn't mean smarter, wiser, stronger. You never know.
Would T.J. Watt beat J.J. Watt in a fight?
Ooh.
Ooh, no.
Yeah,
no.
JJ. I still have JJ.
It'd be JJ. If you look at a picture of TJ, Derek, and JJ all together, JJ's the largest by far.
Are there any other brothers in the NFL that we could have battle for sport for us?
The Diggs. Diggs's.
True. The Diggs eye.
Trevon Diggs versus Stephon Diggs, yeah.
The Diggs eye.
I think Trevon Diggs has more of that dog in him.
I don't know. I think Stephon Diggs has way more of that dog in him,
really?
Actually. Oh, yeah. There was a video that was done once, I think, at the Vikings locker room. Where everyone was asking who they at least want to date their sister, and everyone said Stephon
Literally
Diggs.
Everyone.
Which is alarming.
Said it within like a quarter of a second. Like,
yeah.
Before the question was finished, they're like, Stephon Diggs. But that has nothing to do with fighting. All right? Good for him.
Means he got that dog.
Yes. Give me Trevon Diggs.
All right. There's our MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. Obviously, we welcome your opinions on that. 713-780-3776. We're going to be discussing this.
Speaking of Stephon Diggs.
All right. Throughout the show, obviously, we'll be discussing this. And then tomorrow, little teaser here, we're all going to be picking our AFC and NFC, not only choices for the championship, but by each division. So that'll be fun. All right. Coming up, on Vanessa and Gallant. No rookies starting this year. It's an interesting thing. Who's the first rookie that you think will line up under center for the quarterback position? Plus, our Wine Wednesday segment. That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, with Kenny Pickett not starting for the Steelers, it means for the first time since 2007, there will not be a rookie quarterback starting week one. Quite the stat. It's not overly surprising because we heard how this quarterback draft class was not the sexiest that it had ever been, but it's still an interesting stat to me. Fellas, who's the first rookie quarterback you think will get the starting position? I am bound to say maybe Kenny Pickett, although I am not a Ryan Tannehill believer, which I have said very publicly, so I think it may be Malik Willis. What do you think?
So, if you take a look at BUSR.com/ESPN, the actual odds for Rookie of the Year at quarterback are as follows. Kenny Pickett is plus 750. So, he's the front runner for all rookies. All rookies. And he's not even the definitive starting quarterback in Pittsburgh yet. Though it does seem like that could happen sooner rather than later with the preseason that he had. And because Mitchell Trubisky is in front of him, Mitchell Trubisky is not a very good quarterback. Desmond Ridder is plus 2,000 in Atlanta behind Marcus Mariota. I think that is a potentially good play because I don't think Atlanta's going to do very well. Mariota has gotten hurt a whole lot over the course of his career too, so that could be something that sees him put on the bench. Willis is plus 4,400. Things have to really go bad for Willis to get in. I think that, yes, the Titans are definitely questioning Ryan Tannehill's future, but I don't think that they are going to have a quick trigger finger on pulling Ryan Tannehill versus...
Good point.
Who's coming in first? And look, Pittsburgh is also set up to succeed at this point in time. So if I got to pick between these three, I'm going to pick Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati in Atlanta. And look, Ridder had, of all the quarterbacks in this year's draft class...
He had a great preseason.
Great preseason, but also I felt like he has the skill set that you want the most of, which is like he can do things inside the pocket. He's not entirely, you know, someone at least at this point in time who is reliant on his athleticism like Willis is. And unlike Pickett, he's not a smaller guy with small hands too. He's right in between where he has the body you want. He has the mobility you want, maybe not the best mobility. And I feel like Mariota, it's a ticking time bomb with that guy.
It's a great point. What do you say, Sean? Who do you think is the first rookie quarterback that will get a starting job this year?
I definitely do think it's between Pickett and Ridder as far as the two because, yeah, like Paul said, with Willis, it has to...
It's just wishful thinking on my part.
Narrow set of circumstances that it has to happen.
Yeah,
Vrabel won't pull him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially O'Brien with
might.
The coach like Vrabel.
Oh, yeah, Vrabel's like loyal.
Yeah, I think he's very loyal.
I'm hoping it's Willis.
But I think, because really what you're betting against is like Kenny Pickett is probably closer to actually being the starter, like closer to winning the job out of camp. Whereas Ridder, you're basically saying, do I think Marcus Mariota can play six games before getting hurt? Do I think he can play four games without getting hurt? So when it comes to that, I think I'll go Pickett just because it seems like he is closer to actually being worthy of being the starting quarterback. And if Mike Tomlin sees that Mitchell Trubisky is still Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, who's good in preseason, whatever that means, and is, I assume, also good in practice, I think Tomlin is more likely to make that, you know, to pull the trigger on that move than Mariota or Arthur Smith with Mariota and Ridder barring a Mariota injury.
I think with Mariota, he's going to be frustrating. I think, you know, we saw it when he was with Tennessee. I mean, he doesn't throw the football downfield. And I think that could also be the same problem with Trubisky. I will say this about Trubisky, though. Trubisky's situation, you know, if you want to give Trubisky the benefit of the doubt for the places that he's been before, like specifically the Chicago Bears, who have been a dumpster fire for such a long period of time, then that's a situation where you think, okay, well, hey, look, he's got some solid receivers. That's for damn sure. Deontay Johnson. George Pickens is the rookie who everyone's been glowing about this camp. They've placed Claypool, too. Pat Freiermuth is a pretty decent tight end. Like, he's middle of the road. And then they have, Najee Davenport as the running back. So
Najee
there's
Harris.
A lot of, Najee Harris, my bad.
Najee Davenport's from 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. did he play for the Packers?
No, he played for the Steelers.
He played for the Steelers? Okay, cool. Interesting. Anyway,
yeah, there you go.
He's a backup to Najee. Willie Parker.
It's a Najee party.
Willie Parker.
All right, guys.
Hell yeah.
It's Wednesday. You know what that means. It's time for Wine Wednesday.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine, wine, wine.
Paul, you've had quite the week.
Yeah.
I feel like you have a couple of wines.
Yeah, I might cede my time to Paul.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the 2 and 3 on his power ranking might be better than my one.
Why don't you start us out, PG?
Can these people just show up on time? It's the same as last week. Can they show up on time? So, you move into a new home. There's stuff that you got to take care of. We had the ridiculous electric bill, back-to-back months, $380. And we're like, okay, something's up. The air conditioning, we replaced that last week. The air conditioning, obviously, that's not fun to replace. But there's another part of this place that when I moved into on the inspection was not looking so hot either. It was like the circuit breakers, the fuse box, whatever the hell. And they're supposed to come in to my place, show up at 8. If you're not going to show up at 8, just give me a call. That's it. That's all you got to do. This is for anyone who's working in a service industry like this where you're going out on site. Like, obviously, there are delays. There are times where you can't find the necessary parts. But can you just call?
Yeah.
So you don't show up an hour and 5 minutes later and then are at my complex when I have to leave for work? Like, that would be nice. That's all I'm asking. Just to show up on bleeping time. That's it. It's not that hard. Or call if you're not. That's it.
This has been an issue for Paul. We've tried to talk him down the last couple of mornings.
It's been bad.
I'll go next. I'm super lactose intolerant, so when I order a salad or something, I get it without cheese.
Hell yeah.
Here's my beef, pun intended. If I want to pay to add chicken or shrimp or steak or something to a salad, they upcharge me, which is fine. I'm adding something extra. But since I say no to the blue cheese crumbles, shouldn't they take a little bit off the price? It's not the same. Add chicken, you add $5. I get it. Take away the blue cheese, maybe you give me back $1. It's more about the principle of it. You're making me pay to add something on. Great, I get it. Subtract a little when I take something off. If I say no croutons because I'm trying to keep it tight before the NFL season begins, take off 50 cents. It's the American dollar. It continues to have less and less meaning. Inflation, by the way, not helping. If I wanted to add chicken to a salad or to a, you know, $5, it's like now $7. So when I say no to the dressing and no to the blue cheese, you should take away $1, $1.50. I know it's not the same. It may not make that big of a difference, but gas is more expensive, baby. Everything's more expensive. When I add on, add money. When I subtract, subtract money. This is how it should work. It's America. I don't understand politics. Am I right? Go ahead, Sean.
No, I like that. My Wine Wednesday, I'm whining about my own human body.
Oh.
I don't know if it was just this weekend, you know, going to a game, sitting without any, like, you know, sitting on bleachers and then sitting in a car and then sleeping on an air mattress. I think I need to incorporate stretching or something in my life, because I was struggling through watching the Dutch Grand Prix on Sunday morning, watching F1, trying not to make it seem like my back hurt around my friends, but
your back hurt.
My back hurts around my
You're
friends.
You're 26?
Yes, 26.
Yeah.
I think I'm maybe just stretch. I think I'm going to start with being more pliable, being maybe cutting out nightshades like Tom Brady. I don't know, but it's something I need to work on, and this weekend was a real wake-up call that I thought, you know, sure, air mattress. Don't care. I could sleep on the floor. I'm still a young man. Maybe need a little bit more support.
It's funny you say this, because I am now what I tell my friends is called a hotel age. And what I mean is that when I used to go back to Indianapolis to visit my friends, I would always stay on a couch. None of my friends, most of them, I have one friend who has a house. Most of them have apartments. So I would stay on their couch because they don't have a spare bedroom.
Yeah.
I now am financially stable enough and, like you said, care about my back and my neck to where I now get a hotel room when I go places. Very nice that they offer to do the couch thing, but I'm not going to wake up to hear your dog barking with a stiff neck.
Yeah.
It's that what?
It's the TV life.
Do you still do couches?
Yeah. Carrot's a couch.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I'm at the hotel age.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I probably will still... I mean, I probably will still do an air mattress or a couch still, but there will be more prep. There will be more...
Yeah. If it's a good air mattress... Activate the muscles a little bit. And it also depends on what I have the next day. If I have an important event or something like that... But yeah, no, I get what you mean. It doesn't work like it used to.
It sneaks up on you. A couple years ago, beanbags. Or no, maybe not a couple years
ago. My little brother does beanbags. He's 22. He's a big beanbag sleeper.
That was my furniture in college.
And he's 6'4", so I don't know how he does it, but he does beanbags.
Yeah,
yeah. I've had to cut that out of my...
Does he at least have the jumbo beanbag?
One of his friends has a big beanbag.
I had a jumbo memory foam beanbag for the longest time, and that thing was a wonderful seat for a good 4 to 5 years before I actually had a place where, I had a common room area where I was just living in a room, Yeah, and that's always a great next step. We do have a couple of texts in as far as wines. This one texter, and this is in response to mine. He said, I'm not calling if I'm late. You ain't paying my phone bill. Well, you're not going to be paying it either if you continuously show up late, which it seems like a lot of these people do, because you get fired, first off.
Zinger.
I hate all people who order packages to apartments and don't live on the first floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can be annoying.
If you're a delivery man, that's definitely annoying.
I can tell a lot of my delivery men don't like that I live on the second floor because they don't bring it all the way up to the
top. I live on a very, very, very high floor, but all the packages are delivered to a mailroom.
Yeah. Wow, very high floor, pink hotels. Right, guys. Wow, must be nice.
TV salary. Nice.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we have some news in the agent media world. A lawsuit seems to be resolved. You got to hear about this because this is somebody that does not often walk back statements. But first, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. Look, the NFL season kicks off tomorrow. You still got a chance to make some futures bets before things dramatically change. We were just talking about a couple of the awards. I think Joe Burrow is going to win the MVP. +1175, BUSR.com/ESPN. Maybe you want to go defensive player of the year. Micah Parsons, the odds I gave you on that one, +1000. How about some offensive and defensive rookie of the year? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But who's going to be the first quarterback under center this year? We just talked about some of those guys, whether it's Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder. You want to put money on Desmond Ridder? With Marcus Mariota in front of him always getting hurt, +2000 to win the offensive rookie of the year. If you want to be bold, be bold. He's got Drake London to throw to. That is what you can do at BUSR.com/ESPN. It's your go-to gambling website for all things sports, but not just the NFL. We're also talking about roulette, blackjack, horse racing, whatever. And if you go to BUSR.com/ESPN, you will double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Once again, BUSR.com/ESPN. Sign up today.
Food and rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, I quickly want to touch on this story because this had made waves when it happened. Freddie Freeman had returned to Atlanta, was very, very, very emotional in his return to Atlanta. And everybody wondered why he was sobbing so much. Then the story got released by Doug Gottlieb that Casey Close, who had been Freddie Freeman's agent, had never relayed the Braves' offer to Freeman and instead... pushed him to sign elsewhere. So, Casey Close sued Doug Gottlieb for, I believe it was libel or defamation, something of the sort. And Doug Gottlieb did just release a statement. On June 29th, I commented on alleged circumstances surrounding Freddie Freeman's negotiations. While I always strive to report accurate info, I prematurely reported on this. Upon further vetting of my sources, a review of the lawsuit filed against me, and a direct conversation with Casey himself, I've learned that the conduct I alleged did not occur, that there's no credible basis for stating that it did, blah, 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 blah. I apologize. I've deleted the tweet. This is interesting to me. Are we now in the age where agents are going to sue reporters who are tweeting false information?
It's a good question. I mean,
we haven't seen that happen that much.
Freeman fired his agent, so I think that helps someone actually get compensation in a lawsuit against somebody else, because you can say like, oh, this cost me my job or something. He changed his representation June 28th. He said he was angry per Buster only with how his free agent negotiations played out. It doesn't seem like it would be that far of a jump by Doug Gottlieb to put out what he put out. Again, I don't know the specifics of what took place, but I find it pretty interesting that, yeah, the agent actually won here. I don't really understand how it would be defamation to say that an agent maybe didn't do something on time, unless that definitively didn't happen. But how would you prove that it didn't happen?
I don't know. All I know is that for Doug Gottlieb to walk it back, I think is interesting.
Yeah, all people.
Let's talk NFL, guys. We have it starting tomorrow. The regular season is here. It's so close we can smell it. We are going to have the Rams, of course, taking on the Buffalo Bills, Super Bowl champs, taking on who a lot of people think will be in the Super Bowl. Let's talk about Offensive Player of the Year. Now, earlier we recapped who we thought would be MVP and who we thought would be Defensive Player of the Year. We all made our picks. Now it's time for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Pauly G, why don't you go first?
So, just being consistent with who I think the most important Houston Texan will be in 2022, I think it's Dameon Pierce. If this team actually surprises anybody, wins a couple of games, finishes closer to 500 than we expect, it's going to be because of Dameon Pierce. And I think he's going to have a hell of a season. We've heard Lovie Smith say that this is a team that wants to run the football. They invested in the offensive line in the first round, getting Kenyon Green this offseason. They have Laremy Tunsil back on the offensive line, a revamped unit. And on top of that, just take a look at the depth chart. He's going to get a lot of work. You know, there is no Marlon Mack. It's just, as far as running backs that you expect to get the football, it's just Pierce and Rex Burkhead. He's going to get a lot of looks. He's going to get a lot of reps. And if that offensive line is anything close to what we saw in the preseason, I think he's going to have a monster season.
For the entire NFL.
For the entire NFL, wow. Offensive Rookie of the Year, yeah, I'm taking Dameon Pierce.
There you go. All right. Sean Mapes.
I like Pierce a lot. I think he's going to be really good. But I think this is more, or it's, in recent years, it's easier for receivers to win these kind of awards. And that's why I'm going to go Chris Olave from the Saints. They traded a lot up to go get him. So obviously they think highly of him. He's probably, I mean, I guess Michael Thomas is still playing football now, first time in 2 years. So I guess he's not the number one receiver, but he's the number one receiver who's played a football game in the last 2 years. So I think Olave is going to have a lot of opportunity to get targets in that Saints passing game with Jameis Winston, who's obviously, we know Jameis Winston's game, but he can still air it out. The underrated part about him throwing 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions is that he threw 30 touchdowns. Let's put some respect on his name. Maybe a couple of those go to Chris Olave. A couple of those go to the defense. Who cares? Chris Olave, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
All right, I'm going with somebody that I've heard a lot about. I have a girlfriend, Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN. I have heard nonstop about George Pickens. Now, if you put that in conjunction with the fact that Kenny Pickett might start under center at some point, Pickett to Pickens has a ring to it. I'm going a little bit different here. I'm going with wide receiver from Georgia, George Pickens, of the Pittsburgh Steelers for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'm excited to see what he can do. This is always a toss-up. We never know what we're going to see from rookies. You never know until you see it. But, yeah, we all had three different picks.
They all have about the same odds, too, per BUSR.com/ESPN. Double your deposit today.
Shout out to our people.
Pierce is plus 900, Olave's plus 900, and Pickens is plus 950.
There you go. All right. Go ahead with the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Defensive Rookie of the Year. Okay, so I think there are a couple of different routes you can go here. You can pick the person that everyone's most excited about, who was on Hard Knocks, in Aiden Hutchinson.
Billie Jean is not my love.
He sang that. He's got a voice. His family is clearly quite talented. And on top of that, you know, he's got a lot potentially going on.
His sister's a beauty queen, which is why Paul said that. Just FYI, everybody. Context.
His mom has, I think, also shown that she can procreate quite well. So I will say, of all the people that I'm picking, Defensive Rookie of the Year. You could pick a corner. You could pick Stingley Jr. You could pick Sauce Gardner or something like that. But let's go down the board to the guy who is absolutely tearing humans apart. Plus 1,300 with the Philadelphia Eagles, Jordan Davis. I think that they might have found the next Aaron Donald.
I think
watching some of the clips of that guy just blowing by people, shoving them backwards. And if you want to have long odds, too, to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jordan Davis, to me, is the one that's the most exciting.
All right, I'm going with somebody that I'm excited to see, that I'm excited about. He played at Notre Dame. I'm going with Kyle Hamilton, who is with the Baltimore Ravens.
Ah.
I think that he has a good chance. Again, rookies are always a toss-up, but I think that if he can capitalize on some of the experience, he's somebody that got better in college as he went along. He didn't start out as the guy, and by the time he ended at Notre Dame, he was the guy. So I'm excited.
Not as many viral moments this training camp, because wasn't there that one person that was like, Kyle Hamilton keeps on getting beat by random insert
it
wide receiver X.
Very true.
But he's going to use that as motivation.
Oh, yeah. He's going to use it as gas.
Gas.
Sean.
Kyle Hamilton, also Houston Texan before the draft for like a week.
And then didn't
end up happening. Yeah. For whatever reason, I always associate the guys who were like, we thought he was going to be on our team. And then he wasn't even close to being on the team. So I'm going to go.
Paolo Banchero is that for me.
Yeah, Paolo Banchero is another one where it's like we spent 3 months being like, oh, yeah, he's going to be on the team.
Yeah.
My rookie of the year, I'm going pretty basic with this one. Give me Aiden Hutchinson. I think he's the best player in the draft, or the best rookie there is, and he's going to be able to put up numbers. That's the reason with like Jordan Davis, who is like an absolute mutant out there. I just don't know from the D tackle position, like what kind of numbers he's going to be put up, because that's kind of what especially the defensive awards are. It's kind of a sacks, maybe if you're Trevon Diggs, an interceptions award.
Yeah.
So give me Aiden Hutchinson racking up sacks in Detroit.
If he doesn't win it, is it an automatic disappointment, not only because of where he was drafted, but because of all the attention he got from Hard Knocks?
Yeah, that's what makes me wary of it, is that he has that Hard Knocks bump.
See, that's
on
how I
it.
Feel about Josh Allen with my MVP pick, is it's like it's so obvious.
And I would go with Kayvon Thibodeau, but I just don't know where he's at coming back from his injury. I think it was it MCL or like high ankle sprain or something. You don't want when you're already making the adjustment up from the Pac-12 to NFL football. So I think Aiden Hutchinson is probably the surest bet, I guess, to win.
There you go. Billie Jean is not my lover. Big hit on Hard Knocks. He and his family, big in Michigan. So let's recap who we had for MVP. I had Josh Allen.
Yep. I have Joe Burrow.
I had Joe Burrow as well.
Oh, yeah. You guys were both on
Team I thought you
Burrow.
Had Russell Wilson. No, you said you were doing that to troll me. No, you have to stick with that.
All right,
Russell Wilson.
There we go.
Neither of them are going to win.
And then we had our defensive player of the year was next, right?
I had Micah Parsons as well.
I had Nick Bosa.
Joey Bosa.
There you go.
And we also have our offensive and defensive rookie of the year, which we just did. And that leaves just one, which is probably the trickiest one, because the best coach in the league does not always win coach of the year.
Ooh.
Guess who was the favorite to win Coach of the Year this year? And it is insane that he is the favorite.
Who?
Brandon Staley.
Oh, you're not a Staley guy.
But he's the favorite to win Coach of the Year after what many would argue was a very disappointing.
Who was it last year? Zach Taylor?
First season.
No, Zach Taylor didn't win because they vote before the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. They vote before the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's actually an important thing to take note of.
Yeah, who do you think is going to be like the regular season?
That's right.
So Vrabel won it this past year because the Titans had the
and they were the one seed. So regular season award.
It's a weird one too, because very often this guy could theoretically win the award and get fired.
Yeah, he's not a good coach. You're not actually rooting or voting for the best coach.
I'm going Harbaugh because I think it's a resurgence here for the Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens.
That is a good one.
Okay,
because that's really what it is.
And he's
most
Harbaugh,
wins
yeah.
added.
Yeah.
Well, if we're on most wins added, that's why I'm going with Annika Sirianni, who is plus 1,600 to win Coach of the Year in Philadelphia. There's been a lot of buzz of late about Philadelphia, the schedule they have, the roster they have, it all adding up to them having a lot of regular season wins and maybe not a lot of playoff success, just given what we saw from Jalen Hurts last year. Could you not see Philadelphia being very similar to the Tennessee Titans in that they win the one seed or the two seed in the NFC or something like that, and then they're out very early because of Jalen Hurts' limitations as a quarterback?
That's a good one.
I could, so I'm going with Philly.
Sean, who are you going
with?
Sirianni.
Kevin O'Connell.
Ooh.
Talk about not betting on playoff success. I think he'll get the most out of Kirk Cousins for exactly 17 games. And with that offense, with Dalvin Cook and Jordan Jefferson, all these McVay guys all get hired, and we're always like, one of these guys is going to suck. Most of them have been pretty good when you think about LaFleur, Shanahan.
It's like the opposite of the Belichick coaching tree.
Exactly, exactly. You have Zach Taylor, who everyone was like, he was the biggest example of I've had a sandwich with Sean McVay, now I'm an NFL coach.
Right.
He went to the Super Bowl last year. So I think this is actually a pretty good coaching tree. Give me Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell.
How many pundits do you think picked Kirk Cousins within the last 24 hours to win MVP?
Oh, God. Somebody on our Twitch did.
At least one.
The answer is
two. I witnessed
two.
It with my own eyes.
Yes. We saw one, Vanessa, before the show began on Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt had this very dramatic, slow build-up to picking Kirk Cousins as his MVP. Also picking Kirk Cousins as his MVP, and I think it all has to do with Kevin O'Connell, Michael Irvin.
Ooh, what?
I can't believe that Michael Irvin picked Kirk Cousins. That seems very off-brand.
You could tell me that he doesn't know Kirk Cousins' name. I would believe that more likely than
right.
He actually picked him to win MVP.
Yeah. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant is a former Rockets executive trying to recreate the Rockets. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Paul and I are so nice. You guys should hear us on breaks. You can tune into Twitch if you'd like to.
We are so nice, Vanessa, because free stuff.
Give it away.
The Cougs are coming off a 12-win season, and we're giving away triple option 3-game mini plan that includes all 3 of the Houston Cougars September games against Kansas, against Rice, against Tulane. Eat those W's. Dub. Caller number 3, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You will receive one pair of tickets for all 3 games. Again, caller number 3. If you're a Cougs fan, come on. This is 3 games for the price of none. Buy a triple option 3-game mini plan to call 713-GO-COUGS or go to uhcougars.com/tickets. The triple option plan starts at $117. Pick the 3 games you want to attend today. But again, caller number 3, you are going to the game against Kansas, against Rice, and against Tulane. Yes, go Cougs.
I'm excited to see what Kelvin Sampson and the guys can do.
Yes, that will be a lot of fun later this year.
All right. The 76ers made some moves, and you brought up something interesting about these particular moves.
Yes. So, Daryl Morey and James Harden, we all know that these two have quite the relationship. It's the reason that James Harden is likely in Philadelphia. Daryl Morey was there. He didn't like what he was dealing with in Brooklyn. To an extent, you can understand why. To another extent, you're like, dude, but you just quit on another team. So anyway, James Harden is apparently being consulted by one Daryl Morey when it comes to roster construction in Philadelphia, because Philly has signed former Rocket Montrezl Harrell to a 2-year deal that includes a player option. He was sixth man of the year back in the day, 2019-2020. With the Clippers, James Harden, with his contract creating roster flexibility and recruitment, is one of the reasons that Harrell decided to agree to this. So if you liked the Daryl Morey, James Harden era of Houston Rockets basketball, maybe the Philadelphia 76ers are your cup of tea. If you hated it, maybe you want all the bad things in the world to happen to them.
Which side are you on?
The latter.
See, here's the thing. I really like Daryl Morey. I thought Daryl was great with the media. I thought he was really classy. I thought he was fun. I know that people had differentiating opinions on the job that he did here, but he brought a lot of superstars here.
I like Morey, his accomplishments. I also thought that he had his ass kissed by a lot of people that covered him in a way where I was like, come on, man. Like, he's good, but he's not... Because of the track record, he's not great. And sure, you can point to the Golden State Warriors that were, you know, obviously in the Western Conference at the same time that he was here and say, like, hey, at least he tried and he went down swinging or shooting 27 threes in a row that all missed. Who knows what happens if Chris Paul gets hurt. But there are times where he was praised in a way that I felt like it was undue, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was very friendly with a lot of the people that covered him.
I will say this about the Rockets. I think they are a young team, and their regime that they have with Rafael Stone and Steven Silas, I do think fans have really, really bought into that and that they like what's happening at the Toyota Center.
I like the players. I don't know about the people in charge.
Let's talk about Patrick Beverley and the Lakers.
Yeah,
Pat Bev is now with the Lakers. He was introduced officially as a Laker.
Because now he's a Laker.
And he wants people to know he's accomplished, too. People were asking him, the media types, what's it like to play for the Lakers? What's it like to play with these superstars? Here is Pat Bev's response to that.
You'll be playing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
They'll be playing with me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I made the playoffs last year. They didn't. That's the difference.
Have you guys started talking yet?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I'm glad that, you know, we get a chance to play with each other than, you know, anything else. I'm excited to see it go on. I'm excited to, you know, to get the battling going.
That was a good response.
Just when I thought I was out, he pulls me back.
I understand the reporter's question in, hey, you're playing with these superstars. It's an iconic franchise.
It must be cool.
But Patrick Beverley, it is a put some respect on my name type of deal.
He has the ultimate chip on his shoulder at all times, so he's always looking for something. And while this offseason, yes, I was off the Patrick Beverley bandwagon for a little bit with some of the first take appearances.
He was doing the TV deal.
Yeah, but I am all here for this. For him to say that, yeah, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, yeah, they're joining me. Guy who made the playoffs last year.
This is so Paul Gallant.
Because guess what? They didn't make the playoffs last year, and everyone just assumes like they'll be back. Some people assuming they'll be back. And by the way, everyone roasted Patrick Beverley for being happy that the Minnesota Timberwolves made the playoffs last year. Oh, like how dare Patrick Beverley be so excited about making it? Are you serious? And I think that LeBron was one of the ones that was smirking about it. And it's like, bro, you did not even make the playoffs this past year, despite being on a Lakers team that has all the resources to be successful every single year and that did everything you told them to do. So, yeah, someone needs to remind LeBron James that he is now with noted winner Patrick Beverley.
There
Don't bring
go.
Up how LeBron went to the
Patrick
finals
Beverley.
More times than Beverley. I'm not going to listen to it.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley's made the playoffs every year of his career. Now, is that because he joined the Rockets at the exact same time as James Harden and they got traded to the Clippers? Yeah. Scholars can debate to this day.
Scholars.
But LeBron hasn't made the playoffs every year.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, Patrick Beverley also apparently loves him some Russell Westbrook. Here's Pat Bev on his relationship with Russ.
And I'm going to have fun doing it, so thank you. Love that, brother. First dime of the year. Thank you.
Russell threw him a towel?
Threw him a towel in the middle of the interview. So at least for now, they seem to have cooled their beef.
Yeah, cooled the beef. We'll see how long that lasts. We might see Jeannie Buss tweeting like she was about Kobe again with
that.
This team. But a lot of intriguing storylines in the NBA that season, of course, right around the corner. All right, let's go to garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Guys, we followed the drama between Olivia, is it Wilde? And then Harry
yes.
Styles, and then
Florence Pugh.
Chris Pine. I'm not really good with the pop culture
There's
stuff.
Some movie that just came out that is getting a lot of hype that Olivia Wilde directed, and they just had, I guess, their Venice premiere this past weekend, and a video went viral that made it seem like Harry Styles, English boy band turned actor or something.
Okay.
Looked like he spit on Chris Pine. Chris Pine denied said allegation, and then some person went in on a deep rabbit hole about why there seems to be just a lot of weird uneasiness in the air over this movie, which name is escaping me, just coming out. So, from the sound of things, Shia LaBeouf was supposed to be in this movie. Florence Pugh was creeped out by his track record of his relationships with women and romantic interests.
He was Me Too'd, right?
In those movies, I guess.
Something like that? Okay.
So, Olivia said that they took Shy off the movie because Florence felt uncomfortable. When in reality, Shy apparently wanted off the movie and Olivia was begging him to stay.
And he proved this via emails,
he
right?
He did. And acted like Florence was, Olivia did, was like taking things too seriously. And Shy put these emails out and made them public. And now that Florence knew that Olivia was saying things that weren't what she had told to Florence behind her back to Shia LaBeouf. That's why apparently there's beef between those two. And there's also this whole awkward dynamic of Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles, who was apparently seeing Olivia Wilde.
And this isn't just for promotion?
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Whatever the case, like, Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles are supposedly dating, but they, at this film festival, also acted like they never had seen each other before.
Weird.
There's a lot of weird drama in the air. And I feel bad because Nick Roll is also in this movie, I guess, and I love Nick Roll.
I love Jason Sudeikis, Olivia Wilde's ex-husband, and I love that he served her the papers at one of her premieres. That was also part of this movie, I think.
That in the build-up
right,
to it.
With bringing you much more on pop culture, I'm sure, will be Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank. The Killer Bees, Nailed It, are on from 12 to 3, 97.5 and 92.5. Of course, we will be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Peace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.